It says, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. I've been filled with my own fancies. I want to tell you, it doesn't taste good. It tastes good going down it, but it makes you sick at your stomach. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear or of evil. Whoever listens to me will dwell safely. How many know that your children haven't listened to you if you tell them what to do and they go out and just do what they were going to do anyway? Say, you're not listening to me. They're not listening to you till they actually do what you told them. Your question and our question should never be, what is the safest route? But what is God's route? That's the only question that we should answer. He doesn't promise to make your assignment easy or trouble-free, but he does promise to deliver you and keep you safe in that assignment. Psalm 34:19, I love this scripture. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them. What? All. Not out of some of them. Out of them all. The greater the assignment, the greater the opposition, but also the greater the assistance. We should not be praying. Not trying to offend you today, but we should not be praying, oh Lord, please just protect me and keep me safe. That isn't what your life is about. Or shouldn't be. That is the opposite of our calling and our design. The safest place in the kingdom of God is in the center of God's will on the front lines of battle. Amen. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, Jesus told his disciples, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And look here, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You believe that or not?
Well, but they didn't have all the things that could hurt you back then that can hurt you now. Are you kidding me? They didn't know if the next thing they ate was going to kill them or not.
God brought Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Despite Pharaoh's attempts to keep them in, he brought them out. Exodus chapter 23, verse 20, he said, behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. I send an angel before you to keep you. That means to guard you, to take care of you, to keep you in the way. In the way. Now, God often protects us in ways that we don't even know. God's even protected you from by not answering some of your prayers, right? He protects us when we're not aware of it. How many times have you got delayed and we're all upset about it, but then you got to where the crash happened right before? It would have been you if that delay hadn't happened. You don't know what all God is doing all around you. And I believe every one of us, I believe I have angels. I've experienced their help numerous times. I've seen an angel drive a massive demons out of a room. I've seen an angel pick a woman up and slam her to the ground who was demon possessed. Angels have worked in my life a lot. And whether I know they're there or not, I believe they're around me and they follow me around. That there's some assigned to me. But up in the old church, I hadn't been here very long, and we had a service that this woman came and she got saved miraculously, and then she came back Wednesday night and got filled with the Holy Spirit, and she had decided she was going to divorce her biker husband because he was very abusive, After she got baptized in the Holy Spirit, she said, you know what? I feel so peaceful. And she left and she went home and she said to her husband, I'm not going to divorce you now. And she laid down in the bed, and while he stood over her screaming at her, she fell straight asleep. While he was screaming. Well, the next day, unbeknownst to me, he was furious with me. He thought I had done something to make her do this. And so my office was in the basement of that little church, and we had these big old wooden doors in the back. And I was down in my office, and on those wooden doors I hear, bam, 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 bam. Somebody just beating on those doors. I said, what in the world? And I went up the steps and I came and I opened the door. And here was this biker guy, madder than a hornet, face red. He was almost dancing. He was so angry. And I was totally oblivious that he was angry. And I said, hey, come on in. His testimony, he told me later, he said, the moment I stepped across the threshold, all the anger just drowned out through my feet. And I said, let's go up here and sit on the front row in the sanctuary. We sat down on the front pew. I shared the gospel with him. We got down on our knees. He prayed to receive Christ and became my brother. I saw him while he was praying. I saw three black round things detach from his back and fly out the window. Don't ask me to explain what that was, but I think I know. And he was transformed. He was born again. But God was protecting me because I did not even know he was mad at me. I didn't know he came up there to beat me up. I was just dwelling in the secret place of the Most High and doing what there was for me to do, trusting that I was safe in the Lord. But here's what we need to understand about these angels protecting us all the time. God doesn't dispatch angels to come sit on the couch and hug you. He guards you on the way. Did you see that? Says, I sent an angel before you to keep you in the way. He guards you on the way. In other words, you must be in motion. You can't sit on the couch waiting for some feeling of being protected. If you're feeling insecure or fearful, which we all have those times, but if you're feeling that way, start moving in obedience and protection will be with you on the way. I believe this, you are immortal until your assignment is finished. Satan can't take you out. It's impossible if you are living in obedience to God. You can't go anywhere till God is done with you. And then, hey, when God's done with me, I don't want to stay around anyway. I think it's going to be a little better there than here, don't you? No matter what you face, the enemy cannot defeat you if you're obeying your Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:7, and I'm not in any way saying you can't face some horrendous things. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. The angel will bring you to the place where God wants you to go through many dangers, toils, and snares, but he will not take a step of faith for you. Angels can't do that for you. Only you can do that. In Exodus 23:22, it says, but you, if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. The tragedy of this story is the Israelites got to the edge of the promised land. The angel took them there, but they would not step over the line. Even though God has promised them and his promises can never fail, they are still conditioned upon your obedience. Only you can take that step of faith. I want to admonish you today, church, get into the fight. Come out of your cave. Your Christian lives, our Christian lives, every one of us started miraculously. Every one of us. When you prayed and asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and the Holy Spirit came in and you were born again, that was a miracle. How many know that was a miracle? That's the greatest miracle in my life. I've seen many since, but that's the greatest miracle you can ever experience. So that miracle, your life in Christ started with a miraculous answer to prayer, and it was never supposed to decline. You're supposed to still be getting miraculous answers to your prayer. You know, if you put a hose, a garden hose, in a nasty piece of nasty bucket of water, I've lost all track of time. If you do this, if you put that garden hose in there, that sewage and that dirt is going to filter into that hose, and if the other end is down low, what's going to happen? It's going to go all through that hose. How can you keep the dirt and the sewage out of that hose? It's simple. Connect it to the source and turn it on. When that hose is running, none of that sewage can get into the hose. That's the only way you're going to make it. It's the only way I'm going to make it. Here's my last point. Safety is in the presence of God. Safety is in the presence of God. Proverbs 18. Proverbs chapter 18, I already read it once. I lost my place. I know it was in this Bible. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are saved. Many things happen in our life that we are not expecting. Some of them shock us. Some of them hurt us. Many confuse us. Some devastate us. But all of them are designed to either destroy us or glorify God through us. You choose which one that's going to be. So I would advise you to run into his presence in every situation. I do know this, God's blessings are far greater than the devil's curses. Psalm 57:1, I've clung to this passage so many times. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. Psalm 61:1, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. If you have more input from entertainment and media than you do from the Holy Spirit and worship and the Word of God, take this for the way I mean it. Your depression, anxiety, and fear is by and large self-inflicted. Turn that stuff off and turn this on. And it'll help you greatly. I want to end with Psalm 91. They must have messed up the clock because I've only been preaching like 15 minutes and I've got a little bit more to share. It seems like 15 minutes to me. Psalm 91, I want to end by reading this whole psalm and just making a couple of comments. Psalm 91:1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Did you know that dwelling is a lifestyle? You live there when you dwell. John 15:9 says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide, continue, dwell in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide, continue, dwell in his love. Did you know that not all Christians live in the safety of God? The pleasures of sin will never fulfill you, but they will carve a very empty hole in your soul. If you're going to dwell, you'll make some quality decisions. If you want to dwell in the presence of the Lord, you'll make a decision that you're going to be in the Word, that you're going to serve God in your church, that you're going to have your family in church. Oh, pastor, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. God's not in a building. I agree with you. His presence dwells in the assembly and in his body corporate as well as in you as an individual. Amen. No, you don't have to go to church to become a Christian, but if you are a Christian, you will go to church. And if you don't, you're just making excuses for being unfaithful. I hope somebody comes back next week. You'll make a quality decision to pray, to study, to worship in spirit and truth, to seek God's presence, to seek to please Him, to be an example, to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. You know, there's a lot of highs in this world that you can have. You can drink and get high. You can smoke the ganja and get high. You can pop pills and get high. You can snort something up your nose and get high. You can shoot it in your veins and get high. You can get some thrills with illicit sex. It's a high when you have a new relationship. It's a high to make a bunch of money, but they all wear off because they're not the Most High. And there ain't no high like the Most High. Did you know that there's powerful, mighty forces working to destroy our country, to corrupt your children, to destroy your health and your livelihood? They sure are mighty. But I live in the shadow of the Almighty. It is dark days, but we live in the shadow of the light of the world. So we have hope. The Israelites were dominated and oppressed by the mightiest nation on earth. But the Almighty said, come out of there. And they came out. He said, cross that Red Sea. And they crossed the Red Sea. Then the Almighty said to the mightiest army on the face of the earth at the time, have a drink. And they were no more in one swoop because he's the Almighty. I don't know about you. I don't care about being Almighty. I don't care about being mighty. I want to be with the Almighty. Amen. Verse 2, I'm not going to have that much commentary on the rest of them. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Do you know I always spell coronavirus with a small C and Christ with a capital C? Amen. I spell the devil with a small D and Jesus with a capital J. I write Satan in little bitty letters and Jesus Christ in all caps. Not just because I want him to keep me from pestilence, but for me to remember that I'm supposed to be his offensive weapon. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Have you noticed Christians are falling all around us like flies? What is this thing they're calling it now? Deconstruction. All these famous Christians are coming out and announcing that they no longer believe what they used to believe. They no longer believe Jesus is the only way, that the Bible's really all true and all that kind of stuff. They call it deconstruction. The old-fashioned term for that was backslidden. You and I are not immune because we're good or because we're strong or because we're even Christians. We must abide and hide or we will dry and die. Verse 8. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. If you stay close to the Lord, you'll usually know what to do in any given situation. Verse 10, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. When I'm out of prayers, resources, and understanding, his angels are ministering to me and for me as an heir of salvation. Verse 13, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, you shall trample underfoot. See, the whole psalm up to this psalm, to this verse, is about protection. And then you march. If you get verse 1 through 12, then you can confidently trample. Verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Did you know that's an invitation for you to set and reset? Just like in a marriage, you don't just tell your spouse one time, I love you. That ought to be good enough. I mean, a lot of guys do that, but I love you, dear. That we say it frequently. We should say it a lot. We're resetting our affection on them. We're resetting our love toward them. We need to do that regularly for the Lord. See, I don't tithe because it's a law. I tithe to please Jesus. I don't come to church because I'm a preacher or it's my job. Of course, I probably wouldn't have the job if I didn't come. But I come because it pleases Jesus. I don't stay out of the world's hell holes and out of sexual immorality because I'm trying to be holy, but because it pleases Jesus. Amen. And if there's any area of your life that you're doing because you're trying to be this or be that, I challenge you to bring that before the Lord and say, God, make my heart to where I'm doing this because it pleases you. Verse 16. Somebody said, thank God. No, 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him and be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Did you know that nobody can take your life if it belongs to Jesus? But Pastor, your son died at 15. Didn't he love God? How can this passage be true? I wrestled with this after that happened. And God brought me to the very easy conclusion. It's easy. He's not dead. Amen. He's not dead. I'm going to be with him shortly. Pastor, don't talk like that. I want to talk like that. I mean, I'm almost 60 fortunate. And if I live another 20, 30, maybe 40 years, it'll be like that. My real life is waiting for me, as is Gabe. Here's my last scripture, Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Can you imagine that Moses, when he said, I'm not going this way. I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm not going to be a part of Pharaoh's thing anymore. Can you imagine the ridicule from all the people, all the guys in the palace, all the young men he hung out with? Man, you got all the money. You can have any woman you want. You got the best, the fastest souped up chariots. And you're just going to walk away from all that? And he did. But 2,500 years later, when Pharaoh and the kingdom of Egypt was dust, Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and Moses came walking out of heaven full of glory for a meeting with him. He got the better deal. I've been called a fool, a fanatic, a bigot, an extremist, and all kinds of things I can't say from this pulpit. But 2,500 years from now, I will be walking and singing and dancing on streets of gold with brand new knees, no pain. Glory is my crown and a mansion of my own. This world can't top that. I'm investing for the long term. How about you? I better stop. Even though the clock broke and we don't know what time it is, I might be getting a little long. Would you bow your head? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know who I'm talking today specifically, but I do know that this was downloaded by the Holy Spirit. There's no question in my... Sometimes I think, God, did I really share everything I was supposed to share? I'm not wondering that today. I know I preached exactly what God wanted you to hear. But just like He will keep you on the way, but not take a step of faith for you, He's asking you today, if you have made safety an idol, take a step of faith and slaughter it on God's altar. Give it to the Lord. Burn it, destroy it, whatever you got to do. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray with you. Would you raise your hand? Anybody in the room? You need to get saved. You need to give your life to Christ. Okay, so my assumption is that everybody in the room is a believer. My heart and desire for you is that you live and dwell in the shadow of the Most High. That your life is full of the glory and vigor of the Lord. That you are accomplishing what God wants you to accomplish in this life. That you're living on the battle line and not hid up in some cave trying to be safe. And it's not about if you wear a mask or don't wear a mask, if you get a vaccination or don't get a vaccination. It's not about any of that. It's not even about whether you watch online, don't watch online, come to church a lot or don't come to church a lot. It's not about any of that. It's about dwelling in such a place that the water is flowing through your hose and the enemy can't touch you. So stand with us. We're going to sing this final song. I'll close this in a few minutes. But if you need prayer, I'll be over here and I'll pray with you. If you just need to come and lay some things on the altar, please do that. And we'll be done in a few minutes.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. Till all my fears are gone, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Oh, love has called my name. I've been born again to a family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. So I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and see. Oh, I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you might love me or you might hate me, but I told you the truth. So, and I like it when you love me, but it's not necessary. Father, we thank you for your goodness. God, I thank you for what you're doing in this body. I pray right now for the number of people in our church who have been afflicted in various ways, God. Some with sickness, some just with life's slamming them, some with their marriages. God, give them eyes to see that the battle is the Lord's. Give them eyes to see, Father, that they do not wrestle against flesh and blood, that no person is their enemy, that you are fighting on their behalf, that your angel, just one of your angels, can take care of thousands of foes in a heartbeat. Encourage your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. God bless you.